Gemara Sota, Daf Membet. Today's Daf is being studied by Ali Nishmat, Murze Keni, by Yosef Ben Sara, Umarat Bekenati, Yafa Bat Sara. The Ali Nishmat, Abraham Ben Esther, Ruha Hashem, to Muhammad Ben Adin, Amen. Today's Daf is being studied by Fah Shilema, Sara Bat Rahel, Sara Ruhama Bat Rahel. Inna Rifana Nahem, before the Nefesh, before the Gim. Before Atam Kirabal of the Hindi, Asuma Lamar, and then we begin the new Perek today, the Perek Shemini, and then Bet Amud Mishon, starting at the Mishnah. Mashuach Milchama. This Mishnah and Perek talks about the Kohen that was designated to take the Jewish army out to war. The Mishnah tells us that he has to make a speech of some sort to the soldiers before they go out to war, and that speech has to be made the Lashon HaKodesh. And now the Gemara is going to discuss who this person is and the different laws that surround him. Mashuach Melchama, this Kohen that is designated, he's anointed for the war effort, the Shahash Medaber Elaham. The time that he speaks to the people, the Lashon HaKodesh Haya Medaber, he speaks in Lashon HaKodesh, Shene Emar, as the Pasuk says, V'haya, כקרובכם אל המלחמה וניגש הכהן, because when you're going to go close to the war, so the Kohen will come to the people, וכהן משוח מלחמה. This passage is referring to the Kohen that's designated specifically for the war, the דיבר אל העם. Then he speaks to the nation. In fact, this is the דיבר, Gemara is going to prove from there, בלשון הקודש. And indeed, it is בלשון הקודש. Now, it should be noted that the Kohen that takes the Jewish people after the war is called a Mashuach Milchama because he is anointed with the special oil. The Torah says, Asher Yutzak al Rosho Shemen HaMishcha. They would anoint this oil on his head in order to sanctify him for this purpose. Hence, he is called the Mashuach Milchama. In any event, the Gemara Mishnah continues. The Amar Alem, and he tells the people, Shema Yisrael, listen, O Israel. And the Pasuk continues, Atem kerim ayam lemelchama oibichem. You are going today to war against your enemies. Al oibichem, the Gemara Mishnah says, Velo al achichem. Velo al achichem. Which means you are not going to fight against your brothers. Lo Yehuda al Shimon, Velo Shimon al Binyamin, which means this is not a war. Excuse me, Rabbi. Hello. Good morning. Shannon, how are you? There you going? Okay. Good. Good. Derek Shalom. Come back, Susha. Okay. We will continue. So again, I repeat, the Amar Alem Shema Yisrael, he tells them, listen, you are going to war today, meaning you're going to fight Goyim. You're not going to fight over here Jews, which means there were sometimes, unfortunately, in our history, where there were civil wars, where Jews were fighting against Jews. The Kohen tells them, listen, Abotai, you're going to fight over Goyim. No Yehuda al Shimon. There's not a fight of Yehuda against Shimon, no Shimon al Binyamin, no Shimon against Binyamin. She interpreted the Adam, because if you fall into the hands of Jews, Yirahamu Alem, a Jew has mercy on another Jew. Kemo Shereva, like the Pasuk says, in the Bayamim, when there was a war against Yehuda and Yisrael, this Pasuk of him was actually talking about when the king of Israel, then was Pekeach ben Remaliyahu. He fought the armies of Ahaz, who was the king of Yehuda, and they killed 120,000 soldiers of Yehuda. And he took 200,000 women and children into captivity. However, you see over here that even though they took other Jews into captivity, the Pasuk is going to say how merciful they were on them. And the Jews that were called by names rose, and they took the people in the Shibya, the captivity between the woman and the children, and they dressed them from the spoils of the war. And they put shoes on them, and they gave them to eat, and they gave them to drink, and they anointed them. Anybody that was weak, they rode them on donkeys. And they brought them to Yericho, the city of Timarim, etzel achahem, v'yashuvu shomeron. So you see over here that when a Jew takes another Jew into captivity, at least they treat them humanely. However, it says, you're going against your enemies, the Goyim, that if they take you into captivity, they are not going to have any mercy on you. And therefore, he's strengthening them in order that they fight with all their might. Because a person knows that if he's going to lose, he knows the consequences, so he has a bigger incentive to win. So that's exactly what the Kohen would inspire them. And then he would say, Yenach levavchem, al tiru ve'al tahtezu, and the person says, ve'al ta'arzu mebenhem. These are all words of telling them that your heart should not be weakened, do not be scared, do not tremble, do not fear them. So the Gemma, the Mishnah Doresh, al yenach levavchem mipnei tzahalat susim, from the noise of their galloping horses, the sehsua halavot, and their brandishing of their swords. See, they make all these noises in order to intimidate. The galloping of the horses and the sehsua halavot, they make noises with their sharpening of their swords. Al tiri'u mipnei hagafat tirisim, which means they would bang against their tirisim, like their shields, in order again to intimidate, to make a lot of noise. V'shifat hakalgasim, and do not be scared from the large amount of enemies or of soldiers that the Goyim have. Al tachpezu mikol keranot, from the sound of their horns, they would blow their trumpets when they were out there, also to intimidate. Al tarzu mipnei kol sevahot, from the screaming, which means the Goyim used to intimidate during the war. They used to let these shrieks in order to scare the opposing army. So therefore, he would remind them, do not be scared of all these tactics. Ki Hashem Elohechem Ha'olechem Nachem Elohechem Nachem. Because God is with you to fight your enemies. They are coming with the victory of mortal flesh and blood. But you are coming with the victory of God, and therefore there's nothing to be scared of, because Shekhinah is with you. In order to bring you salvation. For example, Philistine ba'u b'nitzchono shel Goliath. Philistine, who represented them? They came with the victory of Goliath. That was their strong man. Me'haya sofo, what happened to Goliath? Lesof, nafal b'cheret, v'naflu imo, he got slain, and they fell with him. That was in the time of Shaul HaMelech, when Goliath the Philistine was intimidating and terrorizing Jewish people. It's a 40-day ordeal, like the Gemara is going to tell us. And he cursed the Jewish people out. And then David HaMelech went. At the time, it was just David. He took a slingshot and killed Goliath. Bnei Ammon ba'u b'nitzchono shel Shobach. The army of Ammon came with their leader called Shobach. Me'haya sofo, what was his end? Lesof nafal b'cherem. Which is also, this was the title of David HaMelech, and the Ammonim, they hired Aram in order to fight with them against the Jewish people, and Aram fell in front of the Jewish nation, so the king of Aram, who was Hadadayezer, he sent more soldiers to go fight, and he sent the Gibor, his name was Shovach, who was a general. And in that war, David HaMelech killed Shovach. Ve'atem i'atemken. Ki Hashem Elohechem Ha'olechem Lachem Lachem Lachem. Because God is with you. And what does that mean, God is with you to fight? De Machane Ha'aron. This is referring to the holy ark that used to go out to war with the Jewish people. Which is the Aron that was in the Mishkan and the Mikdash, that the Luchot were in this. Aron used to go out with the Jewish people in order to fight the wars. In any event, comes the Gemara begins, Ma'ikamav. It says that what? That the Mashuach Melchama would speak all this talk in the Lashon HaKodesh. What's the proof? Ha'ikamav, Shin Emar, V'diber. It says that Tosfot by the Mashua Milchama, that what the Yigash Kohen Zeh, Kohen Shua Milchama, V'dibed El Ha'am. By Kohen Mashua Milchama, it says what V'dibed. Unhala Nome, Banatan Torah, it says what Moshe Yidaber, V'ayelohim Ya'aninu Bekon. Ma'al Le'ala, V'lashon HaKodesh, Adkan, V'lashon HaKodesh, So, just like Banatan Torah was V'lashon HaKodesh, So, Tuhavim, V'lashon Mashua Milchama, it is V'lashon HaKodesh. Tanu Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, V'nigash Kohen V'dibed El Ha'am. The Kohen goes to the nation, Yachol, Kol Kohen Shirze. Now we want to know which Kohen are we talking about. You think any Kohen? So it says, Tamud Omar. So the Pasuk says, V'deberu Hashoterim, which means, during the war, not only did the Kohen speak, but also the Shoterim. Shoterim literally means the officers, the enforcement, the, like the police, the Shoterim they would call them. This was the, it was appointed by the Bedin. So it's mas shotin b'mimuneh, just like we're talking about shotin, those are ones that are appointed for the job. Ab kohen b'mimuneh. Obviously, we're talking about a special kohen that is also appointed for the job, meaning the kohen mashua milchama that is designated for that position. Just like the shotin who speak to the army, they're appointed for that position. So for the kohen that it says in the pasuk, it's a special kohen that is appointed. The ema kohen gadol, which means maybe it's referring to the Kohen Gadol, which means he's also appointed. He's appointed to be the Kohen Gadol, which means how do you know that from the Shoterim that says they're appointed, that the Kohen Mashua Milchama is specifically appointed? Maybe some of the regular Kohen Gadol is appointed. So it says, Dumya de Shoter, no, that's to be similar to Shoter. Nah, Shoter Shiesh Memune Al Gadol. Just like the Shoter, he has somebody above him. Who's above the Shoterim? The Dayanim, the judges. They appoint the Shoterim. After Kohen, she is memuneh al gadol. So too, the Kohen that we're talking about over here is somebody that somebody on top of him. Now, Kohen Gadol doesn't have anybody on top of him. He's the highest level. So therefore, must be talking about to the Kohen Mashua Milchama, and he has above him somebody that is the Kohen Gadol. So it wasn't the Kohen Gadol that mehayika melech al gadol. The Kohen Gadol also has somebody above him. Who's that? The king. In the same profession we're talking about, which means in the kehuna, there's nobody higher than the Kohen Gadol. You're right, the king might be higher, but that's a different job. So if in kehuna, the Kohen Gadol is the highest. So if I have to be talking about a Kohen that's appointed specifically for a job as somebody that is above it, just like the Shoterim. That must be the Kohen Mashua Milchama. So come to know, Ve'ema Segan, maybe means the Segan of the Kohen Gadol. You know, the Kohen Gadol had a vice, which means was a substitute. So he's appointed to that position, and we should learn that. And he has somebody above him, the Kohen Gadol. So maybe he is the one that makes the speech and takes the Jewish people out to war. Kebalat segan lav memuneh. That is not an appointed position. The Tanya Amar Bichanina segan Kohanim lema segan memuneh. What is the purpose of the Kohen segan? Shemirabo pesul the Kohen Gadol nechatz meshemech taftab. Because if anything happens to the Kohen Gadol, so the segan fills his position. But until he fills the position, he has no purpose. Which means it's not a position in the present. It's a position that he fulfills only if something happens to the Kohen Gadol. So that's not considered an appointed position. A shoter, for example, is an appointed position. He has a purpose immediately. So to the Kohen Gadol, as well as the Mashua Milchama. His position is to go and speak to the army. So therefore, cannot be talking about the Segan, because the Segan is not appointed until the Kohen Gadol die, so to speak, to take on, or something happens to the psul to take home. So again, the Gemara has proven methodically that the Kohen that we're talking about over here is a special Kohen, Mashua Milchama. Now, Amar Aleim Shema Yisrael, tell the soldiers Shema Yisrael, my Shena Shema Yisrael, what do we have to tell them Shema Yisrael? What is that language? Amar B'Yohanan Shema Rabbi Shimon, Ben Yohai Amar B'Makadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Afid Lo Kiyamtem Ela Kiriyat Shema Shachrit Ba'arbit, the fact that he uses the word Shema Yisrael is alluding to the fact that even if you only fulfill the mitzvah Shema Yisrael in the morning and evening, mitzvah Kiryat Shema, you will not fall in the hands of your enemies. So he alludes that by opening his speech by saying the word Shema Yisrael. Then he would say, the Gemara continues, Al Yerach Levavchem, your heart should not become weak, Al Tidu, and should not have fear. Haru Rabbanan, Pa'amayim Medaber Imam. He would speak to the soldiers twice. Achat Basefad, one at the border, which is on the way out to the war. At the border, he would give them one talk. Ve'achat la'milchama. And the next time, right before they're actually going to fight the war, he would speak to them. But Sefarma Omer, what does he say at the border? Shim'u devre le'elche ha'milchama, which means listen to the halachot that are said regarding to those that are fighting. Which means this is referring to all those that return from the war. There are certain exemptions, for example, of someone that just got engaged or married, somebody just built a house, somebody just planted a field. The point is there are certain exemptions. So the Kohen would announce, listen to the rules of the war that all those that are obligated to return from the war. As she says on top, Mi ra'uy lachzor u mi ra'uy lelech, v'hazru ha're'uyim lachzor, kegon banabayit, got built a house, atakerem, or he planted a vineyard, v'iris isha, he got engaged, v'yarev rachelimam, or he's fearful, v'afagav v'chimem v'dibiru ha'shokerim, v'kaman amin v'kohen kamar. Even though the Pasuk says that the shokerim would speak, really the Kohen would say it, and the Shoterim would announce, after the Kohen would speak these words, would announce it to the entire nation. In any event, that's what they would announce. That what? Whoever has an exemption, the Gemara says, v'chizru, go back to Eretz Yisrael. Remember, milchama ma'omer, what did he tell them at the war effort itself? Ayirak levatchem al tiri'u v'atachbizu v'atachasu. Four different terminologies of telling them not to be scared. Four items that the Goyim do in order to intimidate the army. What do they do? Megifin, they bang their shields to make noise. And they blow trumpets. Sovheen, and they scream out with their voices. Verum sin, right? And they trample with the galloping of their horses. So therefore the Kohen has to give them chizuk in four different terminologies. They should not get scared of the oncoming soldiers. And again, like the news, Pelishtim came with the victory of Goliath. Goliath, I think Gemara is going to talk about this Goliath. Goliath. Amar Yohanan, She'amad b'gilui panim b'fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. The reason why he's called Goliath, Goliath means galui, meaning revealed, which means he was stood brazenly in chutzpah in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shnei Emar, Goliath tells the Jewish people, Beru lachem ish, pick for yourself a ish the yered elai, and he will come down to me. The end ish like Kadosh Baruch Hu. When he said ish, it's really referring to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shneiman Hashem ish milchama. Which really what Goliath was saying is, choose yourself an ish. Would you let God come and I will fight God Himself? Hence he is called Goliath. Meaning he's revealed. He is brazen. He came down with tremendous chutzpah. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so God, Vareni Mapilo Al Yad Ben Ish, I'm going to bring down Goliath by the son of an Ish. And who is that? David HaMelech, Shnei Emar, David Ben Ish Ephrati Hazeh. David was the son of a man from Ephrat, so the son of Yishai, he's called Ben Ish. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shem Rabbi Meir, Beshlosha, Bekomot Mechadepi, Neoto Rasha. Three times, Goliath said something, and his words trapped him, because he said things that incriminated himself, which actually caused his downfall. Echad, one was when he said, Beru lachem ish, choose for yourself someone, v'yered elai, and that opponent will come down on me, which implies that the enemy is going to come down to Goliath and kill him, which means usually the one that comes down is the one that is victorious, which means come down to me, which means he's going to be standing in his position, Goliath, and the enemy is going to come towards him and topple him. So v'yered elai sounds like that, or some say v'yered alai, then he'll come down on me, which is was a slip of the tongue that he already alluded to his downfall. Furthermore, v'yidach im yuchani lachem iti meikani, which means he said, let's see if somebody will be able to come down and fight with me and smite me and attack me. By saying that, he opened himself up that he was going to be attacked. And even though he said, well, I will be able to attack them, but since he said his negative first, he said that, let's see if somebody can come down and attack me or I can attack them. But since he said the negative side first, so that was considered his mouth, trapped him. That's why that she says, Afagav dehadar amar, ve'im ani ucha lo ve'kitiv, ve'kol makov, ve'tichat pim rato. He opened up for his own demise. ואידך, what's the third item that אמר לדוד, he told David, הכלב אנוכי, כי אתה בא אליי במחלות, am I a dog that you're coming to me with sticks? Again, the language he said was, כי בא אליי, which can be interpreted, כי בא עליי, you're coming on me, meaning that he's implying that what? That he's going to fall in his hands. Comes the Gemara and says, David, Nami Amar Levrim, but David also said when he was talking to Goliath, Ata ba elai b'cherev u'b'chanit b'chidon. David also spoke in such a way, Ata ba elai, you're coming to me, which we can explain also. David opened his mouth also with Ra'ah, but he said, Goliath, you're coming on me, with a sword and a cherev and a chidon. So comes the Gemara and says, Hadar Amar Levrim. David finished the sentence by saying, The Anochi ba elecha, בשם השם סבאות אלוהים מערכות ישראל אשר חירפת. You're coming to me with a sword, and I'm coming to you with the name of Hashem, who's the leader of the army of the Jewish people that you have blasphemed. Which means David HaMelech was finishing his statement to try to compare what Goliath was doing compared to what he was doing. So she said, the ends of Petihat Pel Ra'ah. That wasn't incriminating himself. The Amalek, Ata Balim Shol Bi Al Yed Davar She'en Lo Mamash, you're coming to me with nothing, with the ammunition, which is nothing. Ba'i Balim Shol Bach B'Shem She'en Yitzachot Shelon, I'm coming with in the name of the one that the victory belongs to him. That wasn't considered Petron Peh Mera'a. Ba'yigad She'Pilishti Hashkem Ba'arem, it says, and the Pilishti between Goliath, he got up early in the morning and late at night with the Amalek Yohanan. He was terrorizing the people, scaring them specifically in the morning and in the evening, that all they should become confused at the time of Kiryat Shema, Shachrit, and Arbit, so they will not have Kabbana, because he understood what the Zechut of saying Shema was, that they tried to mevatel them from Kiryat Shema, Shachrit, and Arbit. And they should become scared, they will not have Kabbana, and therefore they will not have the Zechut. The Benish Chai says that anybody that says Kiryat Shema Lamita with Kavana, so it's like he has the Pasuk says, Romemot Ir Begronam Vehenip Yitir Mehram, it's like he's holding a double-edged sword, which all the enemies are given to him. So he tried to make a terrible for them. That's what says, Vayitasev Arba'im, and he did this for 40 days, Amar Rabbi Yohanan Keneged Arba'im, Yom Shinetna Ba'im, Torah Keneged, the 40 days that the Torah was given. So Rashi says, that the 40 days before Matan Torah, which means, the way that she says, let's read the Rashi, She'ihara Torah litkabel, that the Torah was delayed from being given, itam no koach lehityasev. So he had a chance to get us. Now, someone has said it is referring to the 40 days after Matan Torah, that Moshe Rabbeinu stood in Har Sinai and he taught the Torah. So it seems that that 40 days until they learned the Torah, Goliath had a certain strength that was able to fight and terrorize the Jewish people for those 40 days. In any event, the Pasuk refers to Goliath. Vayetzeh ish ha-benayim minachanot pelishtim Goliath shemo migat. My Benayim, what does it mean? It refers to him as Benayim, which means normally Benayim is the one that stands in the center. I mean, he stood in the center between the Machane of Pilishtim and the Machane of Yisrael. He was in the middle. But the Gemara says, what does this word Benayim mean according to the Drashot? Amarav shenivune mikol mud. He was built and clean from any blemish, which means he had no physical blemishes. That's what Benayim is. Mivune was built perfectly. That's not the interpretation. Which means he was only the mediocre one from his brothers. They were all giants, but he was from the mediocre one. He wasn't that big, and he wasn't that small. He was somewhere in the middle. He was one of four brothers, I think, but I was going to tell us, and they were a giant. He was not the biggest of the brothers. Benayim, he was the middle one. He was built like the structure of a building. Benayim, he was powerful, he was like a fortress. Rabbi Yohanan Amar, what does Benayim mean? Bar me'apati v'chadan ni, which means he was the son. He was created from 100 men and one real father. which means many men had relations with his mother, but only one of them was his father. As Gemara says, his mother was Orpah, Orpah from the story of Megillat Rut. When Orpah left her mother-in-law Naomi, on that day she went with 100 men, and those 100 men that she went with, Goliath was a product of them. Of course, many, so Benai, he was like from a mixture of many different men, but the Gemara says the Hadan, only one was his real father. But he was a product of many, many Ni'ufim that took place. So he's a son of a Ta'arov, a son of a mixture. The Tosafot brings down over here a different interpretation from the Midrash, or the Aruch, actually. And the Aruch explains, Nane is a kelev, means a dog. So he says, over Tosfot, Shebal, Alea, Me'a, and Hashim, the kelev, Ehat. That she actually had relations with that with 100 men and a dog. And that's what they, that was the product that brought out Goliath. So that's why when he said, Nayom Repetishti El David, Hakelev Anochi, he said, what am I, a dog? She said, that already there was some truth there, because actually in the mixture over there, she was also with a dog. Hence it's called Benayim. The Goliath Shemo Gat. His name was Goliath from Gat. Now, usually the person would just say Goliath Giti. What does it mean from Gat? Tani Rav Yosef, Shakol Dashin Itimo Kegat. Which means Gat is also like the place where they crush grapes in the grapevine area. And when they make the wine, the press actually it is. That's where they press the grapes. So they call him Migat because his mother was pressed with Tashmish, just like they pressed the grapes, that's what they did to his mother. Like the Gat itself. Comes the Gemara and continues quoting the Pesukim. So I quote you the full Pesuk. It says, if there was a fellow that rose up, Isha Benayim, he spent Benayim already. Goliath Pelishti Shemo Migat. His mother was like a Gat, which was like a press of the vineyard that they pressed on the Tashmish. And the Pesuk says, Mema'archot Pelishtim, from the legions or from the armies of Pelishtim. It says, Ketiv Me'arot. It's written me'arot v'karina, but we read it ma'archot. So the Gemara says, "Tani Rabbi Yosef shakol he'eru ve'imo." Ma'archot means from the legions or from the army, but me'arot comes from the word he'ara, which means they had relations with his mother. Like he'ara means that they penetrated his mother. He'eru ve'imo. They were with the mother of Goliath. Lashon he'ara, which is lashon of Tashmish, which means he was born Biznut Ketiv. Now it says, regarding the mother of Goliath, Harafa, it calls her, excuse me, the Bukai. Hello? How are you, Biyudah? Okay, bye-bye. Okay, but then we continue. Yomara continues, Ketiv Harafa, right? At one time it calls her mother's name Harafa, Uchtiv Orpa. And we know Megillat Rut, her name is Orpa. Rav Ushmael, Chat Amar Harafa, her real name was Harafa. Why do they call her Orpa? Shakol Orfin Ota Me'achare, because they all were with her, they had relations with her from the back. Orif is the back, which means they were, what if like a behemah, as she says. Orpa. It says, Shema hat orpa, uchtiv harafa, Shem yizda harafa, mi orpa kena mrinan, orfin ota. Hefkira atzma kebehema, panim keneged onem. The face keneged the back. That's the bi'ah that they have with her. Hence, she is called orpa, when she gave them her back, like the behema. The had omer, and some say, no, orpa, shema, her real name is orpa. The number I call shema harafa. Why was she called harafa? She called dashino, they all threshed her, Keharifot, like wheat that is pressed at the threshing. Harafa is wheat that is threshed. Vechen omer, the pasuk is, Vatika ha'isha, Vatifrot ha'masach al peneha be'er, Vatishtach alea harifot. Which means in the book of Shemuel, over there, it's trying to bring a ayah that the word harafa means crushed or suppressing of the threshing of the wheat. So the pasuk says the lady came and she took a cover and she put it over the be'er, and she put over them harifot. Harifot means wheat that is crushed. Ve'ibaiteba mehacha im tuchtosh et ha'aviv ha'machtesh. Shlomo HaMelech says, if you crush the fool in a mortar, in a grinder, betoch harifot, amongst the crushed wheat, ma'ayri with the press, and the pasuk concludes, dot tasur ma'alav v'bato, you will not be able to take away his foolishness. But bottom line, you see from these two pasukim that the word harifot means crushed wheat. So you see over here that when the pasuk calls her harafa, because she was crushed like the wheat is crushed on the threshing. Comes the Gemara and quotes the pasuk, et arba'at evi harafa begat, v'yipinu biyad evi biyad abadav. That what harafa, which is orpa, had four children, and they fell in the hands of David. Meaning who are these children? Who are these four children? Amara Falda, Saf, Umadon, Goliath, the Yishbi Benov. Those were the four children of Orpah, the brothers of Goliath. And they fell to the hands of David and his servants, the Chid. But Tishak Orpah Lachamota. It says that when Orpah left her mother-in-law Naomi, she kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her mother-in-law. So Ruth was a tzaddik, and she stayed with Naomi, where her Orpah left her. Amar b'yitzhak, Amar kadosh baruch hu, yavol b'nei ha'mishuka, v'yipelu b'yad b'nei ha'dibuka. Let the children of the one that kissed, she kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, she left her. Let the children of the one that kissed b'nei ha'mishuka, they will fall in the hands of b'nei ha'dibuka, the one that attached. Who attached herself to Naomi? Ruth. So therefore, history made it that eventually the children of Orpah, which was Goliath, and the other children, fell to the hands actually of the descendants of Ruth that actually made the right decision to stay with her mother-in-law. Darash, Rabba Bishar, Arba Dema'ot. In the zechut of the 4 tears, Shehurida Orpah al-Hamoda, that Orpah cried for her mother-in-law before she left her mother-in-law, so she shed 4 tears. Came from her 4 giborim, 4 strong children. She had Emad, but Tisena Kona, they raised their voice, but Tivkina Od, she cried again. So it means Orpah, she cried twice. Now each time you cry with 2 eyes. So therefore, each eye shed a tear twice. So 2 times, so it was 4. So she shed 4 tears. So it's good for our reward enough. The 4 tears that she shed, she had 4 children. That were giants. Come to Gemara and says about the sword of Goliath. Ketiv, it says the hetz hanito. But to us, it's hetz hanito, which means yeah, is his sword. The karina, however, it's written. Well, the way we read it is not with a hetz. It's written with an ayin. So we read it the hetz hanito. Etz hanito is like wood. It's talking about the ammunition of Goliath, how big it was. Amar Rabbi Al-Azhar, Rabbi Al-Azhar comes along and says, Adayin lo higiya lahatzi shemcho shel oto rasha. The reason why it's written Hetz, to come and tell us Hetz in the Lashon Hetzi, that with all the strength that the Pasuk talks about how strong Goliath was, it's not even half his strength. I mean, the Pasuk is not even telling us half the strength of what Goliath really has. What do you see from here? You're not supposed to talk about the praises of the Rishayim. So even when the Torah is talking about Goliath, it's only half of his strength. The Torah doesn't want to go so far to praise the power of the Rishayim. So the Gemara says, don't praise him at all. We're even praising him half. In any event, the Gemara says, the only reason why he told us even half the praise of Goliath, to show us the praise of David, that he was able to overcome this powerful man called Goliath, comes the Mishnah and said, Bnei Amon, these people of Amon came with the strength of their leader, Shovach. Ketiv Shovach. It's written in the Pasuk called Shovach. Uchtiv, another Pasuk refers to him as Shovach. So the Gemara wants to know, what was his real name? Rabbi Shmuel Hadamar Shofach Shemo. His real name was Shofach. The name of the question was Shovach. Why was he called Shovach? She'asui Keshovach. He was built like a bird's nest of of dove, which means he was very tall, like a bird that which is very high. It's referring to his height. The Hadamar Shofach Shemos. One doesn't know his real name was Shofach, but I'm in the class Shema Shofach. So why was his name called Shofach? Shekol haroe oton nishpach lefanav kikiton. Anybody that sees him falls or is poured in front of him like a pitcher, which means he was so scary, you just looked at him, so people would just fall in front of him. some say Shofach, that he would spill the blood of people like a pitcher. Comes the Gemara and says, that talks about the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar. It says, Ashpato ke keber patuach kulam giburim. Rabu Shmuel. What does it mean over here? Amni le Rabbi Amiv Rabbi Asi. Had Amar once said, Bisha'a shizorkin het. When the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar would shoot an arrow, or seen ashpatot shel chalalim, with one arrow they were able to make mounds and mounds, ashpatot of casualties, which means they had a tremendous strength that they were able to kill many with one arrow. B'shem tomar she'umanim mikrav. Maybe you'll just say they weren't strong. Maybe they just had a talent that they had very good aim. They were just sharpshooters. Talmud lomar kulam giborim. Though they were actually very strong. V'had amad, and one says, b'sha'ashe osim surchehen, that at the time that they would relieve themselves, the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar, osim ashpatot shel zevir, they would make piles and piles of zevir, of excrement. Jeez, they ate so much, like the giborim, that they would make piles and piles. V'shem tomar b'fnei shecholim me'ayimim, and maybe you're going to come along and say that the reason why that happened is because they had intestinal problems. That's why they would relieve themselves in such a big way. Tamud lomar kulam giborim. No, they were strong. They weren't sick people. So they would eat so much like the giborim would eat. So that's why that would happen. Amar Mori, and Mori says, Shemat mina, we learn from a high man din afiz zevle, that a person has a lot of excrement when he goes to relieve himself. Chole me'ayim. We must have something wrong. What is intestines? Because the pasuk has to come along and say that these were strong people. It was not because they were sick. Normally, when that happens to someone that's sick, but these people, they ate so much, so that's why it happened too. So Gamal Gamal says, what do you have to know this for? So Gamal says, Litrach benafshe, which means the guy knows that this is happening to him. Now when he goes to the bathroom, there's a lot coming out, so he has to know, he has to go to a doctor. He has to get the Rifu'ah. Come the Gamal concludes on a pasuk in a derasha in Mishle. De'aga belev ish yashchenna. If a person has a worry in his heart, yashchenna. Rabbi Amiv Rabbi Asi. Had Amar, one says, yashchenna midato, which means the way to get rid of the worry is remove it from your heart, which is don't think about it. Yashchenna, which means just take your mind off of it, right? Yasiyah da'to mimena. The Had Amar, yasihenna l'achiri. That the way to relieve yourself from a trouble is say it to somebody else, which means speak it out to others. Which means yasihenna l'achiri, which is when you speak it out to others, they'll give you advice and they'll able to help you. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, da'agav l'bish yashchenna yashchenna b'dato. One says, just change your thought, don't think about it. And the other one is, yasihenna le'achirim, say it over to others. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen, amen.